Well, we're here now. This is The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean and normally Dave Isaac, but he's decided to go to the NHL Stanley Cup, so he's a bit busy these days. So it's going to be me, and this is The Bottom Line with Breakthrough Thinking. And today we've got we're going to be talking about some special ideas for people in business. And it's these ideas are not just ideas for those that are just starting or just getting new buildings. They're all sorts of ideas for how to improve the business. And with us today is Alan Rush. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Mitch.
Well, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
All right. As Mitch said, this is Alan Rush. I'm a CPA. I've practiced for many, many years. I most probably did tax returns for 45 years. I decided to retire, but before I retired, I started to do what I call specialized tax studies. And I found that I had a great deal of interest in this area and have been able to help clients, business owners, companies, et cetera, save in numerous ways on their income taxes, whether or not it's federal, state, local taxes. That's what we try to do.
And that's through your company is KBKG?
That is correct. KBKG is a tax incentives firm. It is based in California, but I am here in Phoenix. I've been in Phoenix for 40 years. With my background, I was a partner in two separate firms for close to 20 years, and I had my own firm for another 20 years. So I've put in a number of years in the profession.
None of those overlapped, so we can worry about billing hours and stuff like that?
None of them overlapped. None of them overlapped.
What did you find most enjoyable about all those things that you were doing with your various clients?
In the current years or in the past couple of years?
Yeah.
Basically saving them tax dollars. I got started on this in the mid 2000s, about 2005. A friend of mine was a radiologist with a practice in the East Valley, and I had heard about an area called cost segregation studies, and this area reminded me greatly of what was the old componentization of buildings and leasehold improvements, which goes back 30, 40 years. It ended in 1983.
So it's just a nice new name for something that's been out there
for a long
time.
Something that was out there for quite a while. It came about based on a tax court case. It was called Healthcare versus the Internal Revenue Service in 1997, and that brought the cost segregation studies back to life. What actually happened with this friend of mine, we were able to pick up on a partnership tax return about $2 million of accelerated depreciation in 1 year, and we saved them about $800,000 on their individual tax returns for that year.
I think you made your worth there.
Yes, I did. but I realized that this was something that many CPA firms were not acquainted with, and if they were acquainted with it, they weren't sure how to market it to their own clients and what the benefits would be. And I started to do that work and to help them save their clients' tax dollars.
So your clientele includes CPAs as well as business owners?
What I have found is that many of the CPAs, through their practice, will concentrate in most areas that a client needs directly. It will be tax compliance, the filing of the tax forms. It will be the accounting work, preparing the financial statements, taking their clients to the bank, or doing estate planning and some things along those lines. There are other areas which they may know about, but they may not be sure where to find it or who can do it for them.
And the cost segregation, along with several other things that you do, are areas that you can help the CPAs give that additional additional information to the client.
Correct.
And assist in being able to save those dollars, tax dollars, or whatever other savings there are in the business. Because I believe it's not just the compliance in the tax returns that where you look for savings, but it's also in just looking at the business in, as a whole.
I will go into a business and take almost a holistic approach to looking at that business, whereas I'm not particularly interested in I want to make sure that they're profitable, or if they're not profitable, is the potential study that I do refundable? So that if a company is not making money, can they still get that refund from at least the state government and sometimes the federal government?
So it's a matter of looking at the whole package and seeing how
Correct.
How they can improve.
Correct.
And you do that in conjunction with the other CPAs?
I always try to work through the CPA firm. We do not prepare any financial statements. We do not prepare any tax returns. We do nothing along those lines. After 40-some-odd years of doing tax returns this past year, my tax season comprised of filing two extensions, one for myself and one for my son. That was my tax season. And it was very, very simple and very nice.
And they went out on time.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we've been talking about cost segregation, and I think I'd like to understand a little bit more what's involved with that. Because obviously the idea is to accelerate the depreciation, as you said earlier, but there's a lot to it. Because in general, you're going to have either a 39-year life on a building or 27 and a half, depending on whether it's a commercial building or a residential.
You're absolutely correct. The best way I have to describe it is I would like you to think about going into your dentist's office and assume for a moment that he has a standalone condominium. All right. When you drive in, he may have a wall around the building, all right, a brick wall, something along those lines. That wall, instead of 39-year life, has a 15-year life. All right. The parking lot, the asphalt parking lot or concrete will have a 15-year life. The outdoor lighting will have a 15-year life, the same as all of the landscaping will have a 15-year life instead of 39. When you walk into his office, you're going to see a receptionist desk. That receptionist desk will have a 7-year life.
All right. Right. Now, you're not talking about standalone. You're talking built into
Into the building, all right. And the cabinetry behind the desk will have a 7-year life. When you walk into the operatory, the chair, all right, by code, has a 5-year life, all right? The electrical from the junction box to the chair takes on a 5-year life. The same with the water. From the water main to the chair takes on a 5-year life. If you've got a X-ray machine on the wall, that will take on, because it is an X-ray machine that has a 5-year life, the backing behind it takes on a 5-year life. Remember, the gypsum board or the plasterboard drywall will fall down if the machine is heavy. So you need something to back it up. All right?
So it becomes a component part of the machine.
It becomes a component part of the operatory. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The same with the cabinets. So that's what we try to do. All right. we go in and we look at all of the components, all right, and see what we can have as 5-year life, 7-year life, 15-year life, 39-year life.
Is there a way of making it a little bit easier for people? Because, you know, I know that the best time to do it is initially. You know, when the construction's being done, when the building's being built, getting that segregation. Do you help at that point?
We help at that point. All right. You also can go back and you can bring forward all of the depreciation that was not taken and bring it forward into the current year by filing a Form 3115. To give you an example, there was a gentleman that had a tax problem in a particular year. He was not going to have it going forward. He owned a large office building that had a huge parking lot. He bought it in 1992. We did the study in, I believe it was 2007. What we ended up doing was going in and segregating out just the parking lot and the asphalt there. We brought all of the depreciation that had not been taken on that parking lot into the current year. We saved him $40,000 just by doing that study in that year, and it worked ideally for him.
Right. So you can go back. How many years can you go back?
The furthest that I would go back is 15 years. But we can go back, you know, that would be the furthest. We've gone back 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
And because you can bring it all into the current year tax return, you get the benefit all at once rather than doing amended returns for each one of these.
There are no amended returns that are required.
Yeah, I think that's important for people to understand because that in itself makes things a lot simpler. Just
right.
It goes into the current year. You've now brought things to current, and that's what the whole idea behind the Form 3115 is, to advise the IRS that this is what you're doing and tell them why we're doing it and whatever. How much of those studies go to the IRS?
The actual physical study, nothing goes to the IRS. It's held in your possession, all right, or the client's possession.
Right.
We give one copy to the CPA, one copy to the client. So it's held in their possession, all right, in case there is ever an audit.
Okay, so you've got the information available, but it's not going to them. So
right.
That
we give, in reality, what the CPA needs is one sheet of paper. All right, and yeah. With our numbers on it, and then he will always file the Form 3115. If he needs help, we can help him with that form, but ordinarily he's able to go through and do that form by himself.
Yeah, and now, as you said, there's 5-year property, 7-year property. Does it become more difficult to determine as the time goes by, or is it pretty straightforward as far as what type of property? I mean, if you go back, you have you've got the acres, makers, and all, you know, all the different kinds of depreciation that the IRS and Congress have decided that is wonderful for us all to deal with. When you bring it forward, you're still using the same methods that we're using.
We use the same methodology. What we do is we break it down into 5-year life, 7-year life, 15-year life, and 39-year life.
So some of these things, if you've gone back 5 or 7 years, you might be able to fully depreciate some of the
Absolutely.
Equipment immediately.
That is correct.
And the advantage of not having to do 179 at that point.
It all depends. It depends on the company, et cetera, as to what they're doing and how much equipment they're buying, et cetera. For the years 2010, 11, and 12, there was and still is what was called bonus depreciation for the 5, 7, and 15 years.
Right.
So in 2000 and let's just say 10, And a few years before that, you've got bonus depreciation, which was 50% of the 5, 7, and 15-year property that you could take. For the year beginning September 8th, 2010, and going through December 31st of 2011, you had 100% bonus depreciation for the 5, 7, and 15-year property. For the year 2012, it's back down to 50% bonus depreciation.
And who knows what's going to happen next year?
I go back to the point in time when they had investment tax credits where we went through and we gave advice to all our clients because you could get a 10% tax credit for all the equipment that you bought. But in September of 1983, Congress changed the law and made it retroactive to January 1st. All of our planning, everything that we had set up for our clients was thrown out the window. And since then, I've always said, I don't know what I'll give you today's tax law, but I don't know what tomorrow's tax law is going to be.
You're not going to make a decision based on what's going to happen January 1st. Because
you just don't know.
And even at January 1st, it could be different in February because we've already seen that with some of the payroll things that have gone on recently.
That's correct.
But in the meantime, we're at a point where we're going to take a bit of a break, and we'll be back with Alan Rush in just a few minutes. This is Breakthrough Thinking and The Bottom Line.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762 or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins, you have a great firm.
A family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Welcome back to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Mitch Spean. Dave Isaac is here only in spirit today, but we are thinking about him. This is The Bottom Line, and we've got Alan Rush with us today talking about different ways to assist the companies in their bottom line. We've started out with cost segregation and wanted to bring up a couple of the other types of studies that you can do. And one of them you said was an IC disk.
Yes. An IC disk is a method of helping companies that sell outside of the United States. They can be Canada, Mexico, Europe, Asia, any place outside of the United States. And what that involves is a company will set up a separate entity, and that entity will receive a commission from the actual selling company. The commission can range from 4% to 50% of the net profits of the overseas sales.
Now, is it a local company, just to make sure that we understand it, or is it set up outside the United States?
It's a U.S. corporation. Right?
Okay.
It's got to be done U.S.-based selling overseas.
Okay.
All right? And what happens with that is that this new entity, all right, pays no federal income tax. So what you do is you pay that company a commission, and that company will then pay the commission, all right, back to the owners of the new entity or the original parent, all right, at a dividend rate. What we are doing is we are switching the rates from a entity that is paying at the top rate 35% to a dividend rate that is 15%.
This year.
Absolutely this year. And we have no idea what next year or any of the future years are going to bring. It may stay at 20%. It may be reduced down to 10%, 5%. Just don't know.
Absolutely.
But
I want to make sure that we understand that that's based on current rates that we're looking at now.
I always talk in current rates. All right. But the beauty of it is that you can get a company that sells $500,000 on up, all right, where you potentially can save anywhere between five and working on companies now that will save over $200,000 in taxes. So the potential for saving taxes is great. And all you have to do is, if you are selling overseas, you can make utilization of this.
Now, is that for services as well as product? Because you've got services like internet services and things like that that can be used anywhere.
It has to be a physical service, all right? An architect that will qualify because he's doing plans, all right? If a software company is doing it, they've got to send the disks overseas. If they are sending it out in the cloud, all right, it will not work. So it's physically got to be sent out of the country.
Okay, so you could set up do a computer program and send the disks out to 1 or 20 billion people. It doesn't matter, but because it's international sales, it qualifies.
That is correct.
But if you sell it online or have them download it, then it doesn't work.
All right, and it can be anything that is manufactured. All right.
Right.
Here in the United States, and there are a number of different things, that will qualify. Interesting one that I'm working on right now is a scrap metal yard that is sending goods to China and various countries in Europe. So it doesn't have to be a brand, quote unquote, a brand new product that is in a box to go overseas. It can be, as I said, scrap metal.
As long as it's tangible,
some sort of
tangible.
tangible
something
property.
That you can feel, touch,
correct,
that type of thing.
Correct.
And the obviously, but the main advantage is the switching of the tax rate.
The switching, but the reduction in the tax rates, which once again, as we've said, comes January 1st, may change completely. We just don't know at this point.
And we may not we may have a better idea in November, but who knows?
I don't know what's going to happen in November, and
oh, neither do I. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That should give us some sort of a clue, at least.
That would give us a much better clue.
Yeah. Now you said earlier that you've been in doing CPA work for many, many years. What is it that created this new passion for these type of things as compared to what you were doing before?
Well, in all honesty, I was extremely tired of doing the accounting, the tax compliance work. I mean, all CPAs have their own sense of horror stories of their April 15th or September 15th or October 15th, and having difficult financial statements to issue, et cetera. So I was completely burned out on that. But in reality, I really didn't want to retire, but I didn't want to do that anymore. I was asked by a dentist one day. I walked in to do a cost segregation study with him, and he asked me, "Alan, why are you doing this?" And I said, "I didn't want to retire." He said, "I understand that." And I said, "I know your CPA. You have a great CPA, and he works very, very hard for you. But comes April 15th, you are going to owe the Internal Revenue Service in the state $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. He's going to sit down and he's going to tell you, you know, that's what your liability for the last year was. And when you leave, you know he's done a good job, but you're not going to be smiling." And he said, "I agree." I said, "When I leave here today, I'm going to tell you that I'm going to save you $10,000 on this year's tax return and $50,000 on the next 5 years' tax returns." I said, "You will be smiling when I leave." And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, I will be." And that makes a huge difference, because here you're literally putting tax dollars to the bottom line, helping save the owner of the business or the business those tax dollars.
And it all eventually goes down to them, whether it be the business or them individually, but being able to give them good news rather than, you know, and it shouldn't be a surprise, to be honest with you. If somebody's earning $1 million, they should expect that there's some tax liability out there.
Absolutely.
Because the only time that I've ever told people the only way to avoid tax is don't earn any money, because that way you don't pay any taxes. But I've always felt that if you're going to pay taxes, we want to minimize them. And that's what these programs that you have can do. They can help minimize the tax burden for companies. And you said that there was another study that you wanted to, that we should talk about, and that was an abandonment study?
Yes. This is a relatively new ruling by the Internal Revenue Service. And basically, what it says is if a building owner, whether or not it's a manufacturing facility, an office building complex, et cetera, after approximately 1 year of owning the property, they make major improvements to that property. What the Internal Revenue Service has now allowed is the fact that when you go in and you take out parts of that building, which may have had a 39-year life, all right, and put in new parts to that building, all right, the old parts, all right, that you've taken out can be fully depreciated in that year. So in essence, if you had a major office building and you had a chiller unit in that building, and you go in and you decide after a year there, you want to take that chiller unit out. And by doing a study, we decide that the chiller unit had a value of $200,000. Assuming that the office building had a 40-year life, just to make numbers easier, right. Well, you would have been taking out $5,000 a year in depreciation on that unit.
Right. You'd be expensing that much.
That is correct. All right. Now what we do is with the removal of that chiller unit, you have an abandonment, all right, of the basis, which was $200,000, less the accumulated depreciation of $5,000. You've got $195,000, quote-unquote, abandonment loss. You can take that immediately on that year's tax return. At the same time, you put in a new chiller unit, all right, and you can start the depreciation on that immediately.
So you can take advantage of the fact that you put the money out, you're not getting anything back on the old unit because you've abandoned it.
Right.
And in the meantime, you're putting in a new unit that's probably more efficient, so you're going to be saving money there as well. But now because it's a specific component, again, we're getting back to the cost segregation.
And we're getting back to the old componentization, which went out in 1983.
Right, but because of that, because it's so specific, we now have the opportunity to start depreciating that one as well.
Correct.
So I think I asked earlier on the cost segregation. We talked about the best time to do the cost segregation is when they're doing the building or construction. And I think we also mentioned, you know, this is a good example of it can happen anytime when you're looking at the cost segregation.
A cost segregation study, as we briefly mentioned before, can be done at any time going back up to 15 years. So the difficulty is that if you don't have the original plans or costs, an engineer has to come in, all right, and do what I call a site visit. He has to go see the facility. He's got to see it in both cases, whether or not it's a new building or an old building. That the Internal Revenue Service issued an audit tax guide, and in that tax guide, they require that the person that's doing the study do a site visit, all right, to see the building, to see the facilities, et cetera. If you don't have the plans, then the engineer has to go through and estimate. So it will be approximately 25% more costly if you don't have that information. So that is, you know, that is one of the things. One of the other benefits that we can do for a company that's going to be building a building, a restaurant, whatever it may be, and we have done this, is that if we can get the plans beforehand, we will look at those plans and see if we can make any suggestions to move something from 5-year property or 7-year property or to get that away from the 39-year property. As an example, if you go in to any of the newer hotels such as a Holiday Inn Express, anything along those lines, you will see that they have a portico that is jutting out from the building. If that portico, all right, is bolted onto the building, all right, instead right. of actually being enmeshed into the building, if it's bolted on and could be removed, all right, because of the bolts, that has a 15-year life. If it's attached to the building that it cannot be removed, it has a 39-year life. So you can go in and you can make suggestions, all right? Now, we have to, the owner of the property has to determine with the architect and the construction company whether or not it's cost effective to do it, but we can make those suggestions.
Right, but going in and getting that additional information is the part that they need. There's, you know, if they don't know that they've got that option, then they're not going to do it. But if they do, at least they have the option of making that decision and deciding whether or not it's going to be cost effective.
Correct.
So when we're trying to do these things, it's what type of information do they need to provide for you to be able to do a proper study?
Well,
other than we now know that we've got any of the paperwork that from the original building.
Well, okay. There are two situations. Number one, if an individual goes in and buys a building, individual or business goes in and buys an existing building, they may not have the blueprints. They may not have the original costs. All right. So we've got to go in and we've got to recreate all of that. The only thing that we know is the cost of the building and the land. All right. Mm-hmm. The CPA and the building owner have to determine the cost of the land. All right. The rest of it will be the building.
All right. Right.
Okay. When we go in for a new construction, we ask for the payment draws. In other words, there is a form, American Institute of Architects, form G702-703, all right, which will list the breakdown of all the costs on the building. We will ask for that. We will ask for the blueprints. We will ask for the soft costs that goes in the construction. The soft costs will include any permits, all right, any fees charged by Salt River Project, APS, et cetera. We will ask for any of those costs that are directly related to the building, and then those costs get spread out over the hard costs of 5, 7, 15, and 39-year property. So once again, we can pick up, depending on the size of the building, the costs, we can pick up an extra $200,000-$400,000 in soft costs to add to that 5, 7, 15, and 39-year property.
So it just makes sense to keep all your paperwork anyway, but this is even more important as you go along.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, some of the other, there are a lot of different things that go on, but I know that a lot of people have heard of the accelerated depreciation with Section 179 expense, which basically allows you to depreciate in the initial year the entire amount, given certain restrictions on dollars. But if it's a small enough amount, basically it's fully depreciate. You fully depreciate it in the first year. But you've got some studies that will assist with that as well.
Yes, our studies are basically the 179D, as in David, studies. And these are for energy-efficient buildings. All right. What that it comprises is it's broken up into three areas: the electrical, the heating HVAC, and the building envelope. And in each of those areas, you can get a 60 cents per square foot additional deduction if you meet the qualifications. All right. So if you're putting up a 100,000 square foot building, you may be able to get up to $180,000 of an additional deduction for making that building energy efficient.
Which could definitely make it, could help that cost right there by not only making it efficient, moving forward you become more efficient cost-wise, but in the building of it as well.
Absolutely. There's one unique position that Congress allowed, and when municipal buildings are built, whether or not it's a school, a jail, office facility, a firehouse, et cetera, that is a non-taxable entity, all right? Not a nonprofit entity, but a non-taxable entity. All right.
Okay.
Then that 179 deduction is available to the architect or the designer of the building, so that individual or that company, all right, assuming for a moment that it's an architect, can get that deduction on their tax return. As an example, I was working with an architect regarding Camelback High School, and the building was 150,000 square feet. All right. If we had been able to get the deduction for him, he would have had a, we would only the electrical portion, each one of these three areas is 60 cents per square foot. He would have been able to get a $90,000 deduction on his corporate income tax return where he didn't spend any of the money for it. It's the only situation that I know of in the tax code whereby you can get a tax deduction for money that you have not spent.
Well, on that note, I think we're going to go to our next break, and we'll end up talking about also a few other things when we come back. This is The Bottom Line. This is Mitch Spean, and we're here with Alan Rush from KPKG, and we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hirschberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly, whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hirschberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hirschberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hirschberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
And online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Welcome back to The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean, and Dave Isaac is out and about, but we're still thinking about him. We're here with Alan Rush from KBKG, and before we run out of time, why don't we give some contact information if somebody needs to get a hold of you to make to help them out?
Certainly. The best way to email, it is Alan, A-L-A-N, dot Rush, R-U-S-H, at kbkg.com. And the way I've decided to say that is kangaroo boy, kangaroo girl. I came up with a different way, but I like that one much better.
In other words, keep hopping. You keep things hopping so that people can get more tax breaks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The office number is 1-877-525-4462, extension 502. My mobile number, cell phone, is 602-625-1355.
And so when they try and get a hold of you, you can help them with all these different types of studies to assist them with those areas of cost segregation, 179, abandonments, all those different areas.
And one of the interesting things is that what we try to do is we try to make everything success-based. So we will go in and we will try to analyze and see whether or not we're able to save you tax dollars. If we are unable to, there's no fee. If we are able to save you tax dollars, we will charge a fee. That fee is usually fixed before we start so that you know what the cost of the study is going to be and you know the approximate amount of what we anticipate the tax benefits are going to be.
So somebody knows ahead of time what they're getting themselves into.
That is correct.
And also, what kind of time does it generally take to go through one of these studies?
It varies. Some of the studies, the workplace tax credits, which we have not talked about, that gets spread out over a year because it depends on who you hire, all right? And it is cumulative from January 1st to December 31st. So we don't know, all right, until the end of the year what that tax benefit is going to be. All right.
Right.
But on that, what we do is we have a fee per individual for the credits that we are able to produce. So, in other words, if a company is hiring 50 people, but only 5 people out of that group qualify for that tax credit, you pay a fixed fee per individual that qualifies. So you would pay a fixed fee times 5.
Right. So they know up front what it's going to be.
What it's going to be.
Yeah. And that
we will test in that case. We will see whether or not all 50 qualify. All right. But if 45 don't, there's no fee for those 45.
And that totally makes sense. And it's a protection for on both sides of things. Now, one of the things that we mentioned earlier that is the KBKG is out of California. You're here. Is there any limitation on where these assets or that you're going to be reviewing are in order to be able to get some of these credits?
No. The reason that I joined KBKG is because it's a national company. All right. I'm doing work right now or attempting to do work in Massachusetts, in Wisconsin, in Maryland, et cetera. So I can do this work around the country.
Well, that means if somebody's out here and they've got businesses in other areas, you can take a look at the entire
package. The entire package. There's a company here, a technology company here that we're starting to do some work for. They have a facility here in Phoenix and a facility in Florida, and hopefully we'll do both facilities.
Yeah, and it totally makes sense. If you're going to do it, you might as well do the whole business rather than a segment of the business.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Have you found that people have wanted little segments done rather than the entire business?
Well, I will go in, as I mentioned before, and I will look to see how many segments. I look at this entirely different than most CPAs, and I go in and see what areas might work for an individual company. And if one area works, great. If two or three areas work, magnificent.
and it just allows them to do whatever they feel is appropriate. And they don't have to do it all at once or right then.
No. We can do it spread out over time. If a company owns, in other words, let's just say a company owns 10 office buildings, they may only want to do one or two office buildings this year and do another one or two next year, et cetera. So it varies completely based on what they want to do.
Yeah, and if they're expanding, that's even better because you can do whatever the buildings are now, and then as they do the new buildings, you can do it up front and give them those suggestions like you were saying before.
Absolutely.
Make sure that they get the most bang for their buck at that point.
Absolutely.
Now, are there any other credits out there that you'd like to speak to? Because we have 4 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get as much information in as we can here.
There are most probably 10 different credits that we work on. I mentioned the workplace tax credits. All right. There's the research and development tax credit. There's another energy efficient for residential developments. The employment tax credits, repair versus capitalization. We also do commercial real property tax appeals, sales and use tax. We've had some great results on that, and expense recovery services that will work for businesses of a significant size.
So it's not just limited to the tangible property or anything else like that.
No.
You want to be able to look at the entire business. And again, like I said, you're working with businesses, you're working with the CPAs, trying to make sure that you work as a part of the team to be able to assist in being able to take advantage of these credits. What businesses would you say are the most likely to be able to take advantage of these studies and credits?
It varies. Some of the biggest success that I've had happens to be cold storage warehouses in Nogales, Arizona. And, you know, people just look at me and say, wow, that's unusual. Medical facilities.
You haven't found any Eskimos out there yet?
No.
Okay.
Medical facilities, manufacturing companies. These are some of the ones that work very well. But I've done all sorts of work.
So it's just a matter of finding that right fit.
If somebody gives me a call, absolutely, I talk to them and try to help them determine what benefits we may be able to bring to that individual or that company.
Absolutely. And as we run a little bit towards the end, I know we've got about a minute and a half or so to go, just kind of give an overall of what you would just kind of summarize things as far as what you do and where you want things to go.
Basically, what I'm trying to do is help people save tax dollars. All right? It can be federal tax dollars. It can be state tax dollars. It can be local tax dollars through the real estate property tax appeals. However, I can help them save tax dollars. That is the most important thing.
And that's where they appreciate you the most, I'm sure, as well. Hopefully. Well, I appreciate you coming out, Alan, and we'll hopefully be able to have some additional discussion soon. This is The Bottom Line with Mitch Spean, Breakthrough Thinking. And I thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.